Welcome to Alive the Pod Course, practices and conversation for fully alive living.
Join Jane Gottlieb and Marisa Halstead for some shucktified musings aimed to help listeners maintain an inspired and open mindset and wider perspective.
In this pod course, we take the approach of inviting all humans to consider their life and the way they live it as extraordinary versus ordinary. Here, we offer conversation and practice to help make that possible.
Ultimately, we hope these conversations illuminate the infinite possibilities available to us all and help each of us come fully alive in every scene in the movie of our life.
Let's roll. Hi.
All right, jumping in to our fourth pod course. You know, I just have to say, this is one of my favorite things to do. It's really fun to be given permission to sort of go a little deeper into some of the subjects that we often just like say in passing. Mm. So thanks for listening.
And by pod course, by the way, yeah. What we mean is podcasting is just too normal and simple, and we don't do things like that. So.
Well, that's not entirely true.
I know. It's a
Actually,
tiny little part of it.
It's entirely true that we don't do things like that just because I can't. And like, I'm such an ornery pain in the ass about that. But the real reason is that we're calling it a pod course because we wanted to include a meditation and a practice and like something that you could take home in alignment with what we're talking about to keep this activated, alive in your nervous system, things like that. So
yeah, conversations and practices.
Yeah. This whole brand is a very much an embodiment brand. So it, you know, I'm just like kind of a stickler on it has to get in here in addition to here.
Yes. Information doesn't lead to transformation necessarily. Only experience can do that. That is something I totally live by.
Yeah.
So here we are.
And so we thought we'd talk today a little bit about not only defining the extraordinary and the ordinary, but making them in some ways one and the same. Like how the mundane, how that can, we can integrate that into the extraordinary nature of our lives. And I think I'll just start by saying, you know, it's fucking extraordinary that we're alive. It's a total miracle. It's a mystery. So many things had to come together. Mm-hmm. I always like when I let my mind travel down this lane, and Jess, actually, you were one of the women who's behind the scenes with this brand and so brilliant. Mm-hmm. She would always talk about just the science of all the things that had to come into place for even us as humans to be here, but specifically me to be born. And so in and of itself, it is extraordinary. And so how do we live into that even when we feel dead? Like I've been feeling.
Yeah. You'll hear a little in both of the lungs, the respiratory taking over of what has not felt like fully alive, extraordinary, sparkly in the last 2 weeks, dealing with some health, being knocked down a little bit on the health front. So we thought it would be super timely and a cool conversation to really explore that, you know, the mundane, the ordinary, all those pieces that I just get to take a breath, especially having this respiratory thing. Like, what did it take for me to be able to breathe today?
Yeah.
That's
the whole,
amazing.
The chop wood, carry water, and just the idea that, you know, sometimes I've sat through several moments in my life, specifically the beginning of last year, so it's been a little confrontive with like just not seeing the vision, not having the vision, not having my why. So not feeling very alive on the inside. Mm-hmm. And yet again, being committed to this teaching and school of aliveness, like, okay, what am I, you know, am I a liar? Like, what does that even mean? And so I just remember really leaning into the idea at the time when I wasn't feeling alive, I really wasn't feeling that force inside that is so important to me, and that so many practices I do them to keep that engine of fire alive. But when it's seemingly out, you know, the way that I got through that last year and this year, quite frankly, when I just like feel foggy and I can't see, is like, well, what's like the best next step? I don't have to see the whole vision because I know that if I take one step and I can really figure that out, which is a little easier sometimes to chew off, then I can see more than I saw yesterday. If I just take one step, it's like a whole different horizon appears. And so that's kind of where I'm at these days, this January, is like, what's the best next step?
Yeah. And do you mean, just to clarify, do you mean the next best step in like towards a goal in your career? Do you mean like literally what's the next step? What do I need in the next 10 minutes to feel better? Like,
yeah, to get through this day without feeling like I would get to the end of my life. And I don't want to write off a day or even one.
Yeah,
I don't want to write off like 10 days of like, you know, I just got through, or I went to bed really early because, and this has happened. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but what is the best for me? Sometimes it's just the next step of allowing, having a little discipline of where my mind is allowed to go, to get me from here to the next hour without me being in terrible resistance to my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's really beautiful. There's a lot in there. Like, without being in terrible resistance to my life is a pretty good goal for every single day. And also to not let it mean because I'm in a bad mood or because I'm sick for a couple of days or a week or going through a health issue, that is an identifier of who I am, and making it mean something about me as a person, as Marisa, or
forever and ever,
or this is making it mean anything. And I think Jane and I keep coming back to, and we talk about this a lot, get present with the now. And that fully aliveness, for me, this is like a really key thing that helps unlock when I might be in the shit, or I just feel like that energy of downness, or I'm
right.
confused.
And just to clarify, in the shit sometimes actually feels better than in the empty nothing shit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, not in the shit, but in the not anythingness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, yes.
That's a really hard place for me.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that you are not a creative person. There's this linking that the mind does a lot of the times that we're just programmed and used to, that thought then leads to an emotion of, what does it feel like that I'm not a creative person?
Well, and then the emotion creates more of the thoughts, and like, then you're in the loop of not only our programming, but the loop of, you know, of the dungeon. Like, mm-hmm. you're your own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think part of what we're saying here and exploring in real time is the feeling of whatever's happening in the moment, stuck, not that well, healthy, whatever it might be, confused, lack of anything, and being with that without needing to make it a whole story about like the future or the past. And when we can do that, at least for me, I know that if I'm really like, with it, and there's a fine line here. I'm not going to sit here and wallow in it too long. And then, because if I do that, then it creates a little bit more of the story that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But if I can really just like be with it and in those seats of awareness that we keep talking about, witness, I'm in the character, right? I'm feeling the feelings of what that feels like. But I'm also taking some time to realize with presence of, this is just happening right now in this moment and it means nothing about me. That's the observer kind of like watching, right? And then the next piece of that is like, okay, what's the next natural step? Next 10 minutes, next 2 hours, today.
Yeah, and it might be rest. It might be a book. It might be a podcast. It might be calling a friend. It might be a meditation. It might be getting out in nature. I mean, that's also something I really turn to is even in the mixed, you know, the middle of the heart of winter, it's like when I get outside, the coherence kind of comes back. And for me, what I tend both on a physical level, but also on an emotional and an emotional level, I notice that when there's a lot of incoherence and like I'm just hearing a lot of messages and I can't quite make truth of them, that's when I get the most stuck.
Mm.
So I always find that just, yeah, to me, getting outside, pretty big deal, actually.
Yeah.
It's like when I did yoga in the very beginning, I remember there were times where the teachers at this, and this is when I was in my 20s, so I really didn't understand it, but they would just say, you know, at least, like, you're fine when you're here, right? And like, just you're fine when you're here. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't mean a whole lot. But then there has been times in my life where, like, my yoga practice, I wasn't fine the rest of the day because I was circling in my head or, you know, telling myself stories or being in the program that then created an emotion that then came, that then reinforced the synapses in my brain to think that I was exactly the, in the state that I was afraid to be in anyway. And, but when I was in yoga, or when I was in nature, there was there's a separation mm-hmm. between the character being everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, if we're talking about, like, we're not talking about exiting this feeling or having it end, but I think we are talking about having it, this feeling, we're talking of emptiness, of blahness, of deadness, whatever, of zombiness, of fog. If you can relate to any of those things, I think we are talking about that not causing more suffering, yeah. because that isn't, it's, I'm not sure it's ever going to be a comfortable sensation. Mm. I'm not sure it's ever going to be something that, like, I'm totally pro, like, available or not. I don't know if it's something I'm ever going to be in complete acceptance over mm-hmm. because it doesn't, I don't feel alive. And, like, I have a desire to have all the experiences. Well, okay, this is one of them. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it's just like a cute little reminder of, like, I'm getting what I asked for. Okay. Well, now what, mm-hmm. you know, now what? And mm-hmm. then I have a little space. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think so much of life, if we can create that space in a conversation, you know, we're just not so looped into who we were yesterday.
Yeah. And the unlooping, if that's a pattern and a cycle that's been going on for a fairly long period of time, the practice that you were just referring to, or like the time in which you spend just a pause and not being in yeah. that over time, well, I think about it like a train. Like, this train has this forward momentum, right? And it's been going on this path of a similar pattern for a long time. You can't just, like, reverse the train. And the expectation that you can do that is where we get tripped up. I think
sure.
it's like the pause is so important. And then it takes some time, but it's allowed. You have full permission. It is actually supposed to be like a process. And the more time you spend in a yoga class or in a meditation or a journal, a little pause, whatever that practice is for you, then that becomes the new seed that's planted as the new norm, the new train direction, if you will. And eventually you're not trying so hard to re-steer the train. It's just in you. Mm-hmm. But it does require that. It's like nobody can really do the work for us.
And nobody, it's not even that we, yeah, nobody can do the work, but also nobody can... There isn't like a way out or off yeah. the train, right? Like nobody can, you can't even get yourself out of this. That isn't the point.
Right.
It's just to be alive with curiosity mm-hmm. as to what it is to be human. And sometimes what it is to be human is to be frozen like the earth in the winter. To be, right? Like that's, is to just to be able to withstand it all. Mm-hmm. And because I don't think we don't get to define what it all is. That's yeah. what Earth does for us. That's why we get to collaborate here. It's just, yeah, there's nothing profound here. There's no way out. There's just a beautiful acceptance that, I mean, what I guess the biggest message for me to say is that, you know, I'm a woman and I'm a teacher at my nature who stands for aliveness and deep passion for what it is to be human on this planet, because that's where I'm here, you know, at least in this brain awareness. And so having a place for it all without it writing the story for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, okay, so here's a week. And it doesn't mean that I wrote it off to not loving my life. It's allowing me to love the parts that I love even more because the contrast is so magnificent and awe-inspiring mm-hmm. and extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's, I think you can hear it in my voice. Like, I wish there was something I was more lit up to share on this, but it's a calm humility and sort of like a maturity to be like, well, dull is a color that exists too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only way I could know bright is if I knew dull.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we were shoveling the driveway by we because we live together. And this is a steep driveway with a lot of snow on it. And I was having this moment while we were shoveling the driveway of watching my mind kind of go to like summer and fantasizing about like when I feel I'm a summer baby. And this feels like my mind was doing some judgment stuff about like, oh, I wish I wasn't here in this moment. And the aliveness, what I did it very practically about 15 minutes ago was I started to pay attention the way that there's not that much sun out right now, but there was a little bit coming through and this glistening on these like crystals on the snow. And it's like, it sounds cheesy, but it's stuff like that of like just a quick redirect. And I could see the aliveness and the molecules and the water and the frozen and like, I love water. And so then I went on this trip of like, I'm in water right now. It's just like taking a different form. Mm-hmm. And I had so much more fun shoveling for the next 5 minutes, you know? It's that simple.
And you didn't get stuck in hating winter and being in winter for that the rest of your life.
That, it's just like, that just doesn't even need, that's cute. Turn the tree around, new direction.
Yeah.
In those little moments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a conversation with your husband or your business partner that's like, oh God, here we are again having this talk. Can I listen in a different way? Can I bring a newness to this in my own experience? Because that's all I'm ever responsible for, so that I've got a little bit more depth to this experience.
Yeah, I think the questioning, the curiosity is such a key component here. I mean, and two, the minute we think we get somewhere, we get slapped on the wrist because, like, again, I speak to my 2023. It was a really big year for me. You're going to hear that forever because it was a huge year. So much happened to me from my perspective change to my physical, like, outer world / inner world. It was just a big year. And I really spent... we'll go January, February, March, even April last year was some of the most challenging content I've ever been through in my life. It was so complicated for me. And by the time I got to June, July, August, I couldn't have been having a more opposite experience than like down and low and confused. I just was so enamored with the power to determine my reality through, you know, the way that I decided to see it kind of a thing. And so the second half of the year for me, I just was like, whoa, like I'm in freedom. I'm getting this. Like I feel in relation and at ease with the things I can and can't control. And I'm fascinated. And I was, and
yeah, you're getting
I
curious.
I really was just like in this great place. And then literally, boom, I woke up in 2024, which is this time where, you know, I want to live a new year. I'm hungry to not like put, I keep saying like 75 of the same years together and calling it a life. Like I'm so hungry to figure out what my goals are this year and I don't know what they are. And so like, boom, like everything I thought I knew, all the clarity, all the, like the framework of which I had built a new house to see life through that window in the second half of 2023, like it literally like dissolved. Sorry, we have
this stopwatch for time.
It just dissolved. And here I am again, like having to go back to the work to learn it again so that it's real for me. And it's just, it's so humbling, and that's why some of this work, I really associate it as the hero's journey or, you know, I'm a different person than I was last year, but I got to go through the journey again of stepping into the unknown to me, stepping into the mystery, getting out of the comfort so I can learn and integrate a triumphant moment that will bring me more of myself in this year. So it's so interesting. You have to remember to forget, to remember to forget. And like in that regard, this is a live practice, all of this, like checking in with our thoughts. It's not something you just like learn and get and then you get it.
Right. You may get some fundamentals. that can help feed whatever, but the scenes will always change. Oh,
here we go, IG.
Uh-oh. Sorry. We're back. Yeah, and there it's just sort of almost, you have to have a little lightheartedness with it and a fabulous community, which is something I really hope we're growing, so that you can get through it, because sometimes we need each other. And sometimes, yeah, our community is a big piece of it, and surrounding ourselves with people who are curious and willing to ask us questions so that we question our thoughts. It's like the minute we start believing our thoughts, we're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was having a conversation. I want to bring in something like practical and real world, because I was having quite a few conversations over the last couple weeks with mom friends of mine. I was telling you this yesterday. Like, how all of this sounds so wonderful, and I'm really want to be practical in the application of these things. And it's true, you know, there is a story, a scene, because we talk about things around movies and scenes a lot around here, that feels very real in the sense of, I have obligation, I have children, I'm not feeling that great, I don't have the time to, and I don't mean to say quotes because I'm negating it, because it's real for many, many, many people, and you may be one of them. And I think the answer that I keep coming back to over and over and over again is that life is always going to be our greatest teacher, always. Like, let's stop thinking that the greatest teaching is in this podcast or a book or somewhere else. Like, whatever's in front of you can be and is the greatest opportunity for you to choose, because alive living is really about choice. It's about being more involved in the choice of the experience you're having, regardless of what the circumstance itself feels like or is. So for example, you know, just in real time, a mom who is, you know, dealing with a very sick kid in that day and has to drop all the other things, and in those moments that feel like stress coming up into the nervous system, you know, it's as simple as a choice, a quick switch, like I did, you know, a small example of shoveling and choosing a different orientation to. And how can you
choosing
use,
a different thought to,
yeah,
indulge.
Exactly. Yeah. Orientation, yeah, to a thought to indulge. Exactly. Of like, I can't handle this. Ah, nervous system response, which is real in the moment. But a new way of doing that would be a couple deep breaths and seeing this child as a teacher and getting curious. So Jane was just talking about a big, broad whole year of like what happened in the circumstance, and then moving from the reaction to it into curiosity. We can do that in micro little moments of a tantrum and just maybe even ask questions instead,
yeah, you
of
know,
reacting.
The question,
you know,
that I go to, this is like the go-to question. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend you use it for a week. Mm-hmm. Is like, okay, well, all right, what else is possible that I've never been able to think of in this circumstance before?
Yeah, what else
before?
Is possible? Such a good question.
What else is possible? And you're not asking it. I mean, one of my greatest teachers, Kate Spear, who really started me down probably my deepest spiritual journey, she would always ask me, what else is possible that you've never been able to think of before? And I, you know, when I first heard that, I was like trying to come up with the answers. But the whole point of that question is to tap you into the unknown and the, like, literally the quantum field, the field of possibility that is unknown. Mm-hmm. And it's not to answer it. It's to open the energy to recognize that you are now in conversation with you with openness instead of conclusion. Mm-hmm. And the only possible magical answer here would be the one that you don't know yet. Mm-hmm. So when you start asking, whole new possibilities arise. And, you know, two, like that mama who is a victim of that situation through one lens, and just, you know, I get it. And I will hold your hand through every bit of victimness that you need to be in. But when you're ready to shift and there's a way to be like, wow, like what kind of devotion and love is in me that I never knew was in me? Like I am a beacon of devotional love, and maybe I'm learning here where I can do this, even if it doesn't serve my moment, my day, my life, but how can I apply this in more areas of my life? And what would that do? You know, because all of a sudden you become then a higher vibration of love, and then your outer world meets you at the higher vibration. That's where consciousness is math. Mm-hmm. It's that same practice that I've shared with you so many times that like, if you want more abundance, every word, every thought that you have that when you're not paying attention can't be in that lack or the space between you and abundance. It has to be in the abundance, and then you have it. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, I'm sorry to just keep talking, but I was actually yesterday, of course, in this like, I'm in a 2-week funk, maybe longer, who knows. But I was like, not loving the love of like the partnership that I'm in. I just wasn't like, it's not everything I want. And I was like, well, hold on a second here. That's because it's showing up to the level that I am available for love. So it has nothing to do with this person or me needing to leave this person. It's just showing me where I'm at. And so if I am looking to have a kind of love that is more devoted or devotional or whatever it was, it's hard to talk about these. It was really clear in my head yesterday, but it's already getting foggy. I just was really aware that like, oh, this is for me to, oh, I was saying to myself, I really wanted an experience of someone, we'll use the word like worshiping me more. I just like, I didn't want to have to fight for that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, hold on. This is between like, this is where my brain goes. But this is between me and Instagram. Like if I don't worship myself enough to think that my message is so awesome, then like I'm never going to get the love I want because I don't worship my own message.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. There so you go. Much. I love it. I love it. I love it. You like, you're bringing to a point that I've been thinking about a lot too. So thank you so much for just sharing that so vulnerably. That was absolutely gorgeous.
Thanks.
And every time, and I see this in other people, but I'm finally starting to like drink my own medicine, is every time I say, I want my partner, I want someone who does X, I want someone who's more attentive and pays attention, it's a request for myself to myself. Like, let me say that again. Every single time we ask of another human to show up in the what we want, we're literally talking to ourselves. And can we get aware enough in a few more moments of looking in the mirror and flipping that around and being like, oh my gosh, that's me and me.
Yeah. I mean, it just is. Oh,
and then how, and I can answer that. Like, because I want it so bad, I actually have, it's not confusing. I'm like, oh, okay. I know exactly how I want to be loved. I'm just going to now choose to just do it for myself. And I've been applying that in my relationship for the last few months, like significantly. It's incredible that I'm getting from that human now, really, mm-hmm. what I've been wanting because I'm giving it to myself.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes sense. Like you said, it's math.
Yeah, it's math. And we're going to talk about this 1,000 times over because mm-hmm. it's one of those things it clicks when it clicks and there's so many different ways to hear about it.
Sure.
And you know, I heard for so long, like, you know, give yourself the love you want to receive. Well, I had to really,
what does that mean?
I had to really realize that like, yeah, it's not going to come to me in my most intimate relationships in the exact form that I want until I figure out how to it's not even give it to myself, it's be with it with myself, right? Because there's a little subtlety there.
Sure.
But yeah, like my relationships are definitely all of them, romantic and not, you know, a reflection of the level that I'm at. So getting curious in that way instead of being a victim. It's just, I don't know. To me, this is a strategy on how to live the most out of each and every one of our days, even the dull days. And in that way, they're extraordinary because we are using them as if, even the dull days, like this is the only soup I could eat to get me out of the desert, right? This is the only the only flavor of life that could get me from here to here, which is why I'm calling it forward. And I like to ask that question too. How is this the only experience possible for what lesson?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there, it's good questions.
Being with what's right in front of us, going back to that, like, life.
And sometimes I don't get answers. Like, I sat and wrote in my journal the other day, because that's a really good way for me to usually wake up my inner fire. And I ask the question a lot, what does spirit want me to know today? And like that day, I didn't get any like great wisdoms. Mm-hmm. But if I come back, if I keep coming back, it'll shift, and I know it will.
Yeah, we just don't like the answer that when it's silence. What spirit wants you to know today is just be.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, if it's not clear until it's clear, you're not getting the healing until you heal, mm-hmm. won't click until it clicks. All these sayings are really true. And all we're doing here is musings around how to be meeting yourself in the moment that we're in, you're in, we're in, with more presence and embodying that in your physical, in your mind, in your energy, in your heart. And let it all just be freaking okay. It's why we came here to the planet, is to experience
and it's a practice
all of, it.
Of questioning your thoughts. It's like getting quiet enough,
without
which is
needing
where
an answer.
That meditation is so powerful, you know, getting quiet enough to start to hear the chatter of what your mind, what your voice says to you when you don't, when you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And then asking if those thoughts that are coming through that you don't even notice are as thoughts, if they're true. And that's like crazy silent, still hard work.
Yeah.
and I hope, you know, all of our practices, to me, they help us to start to recognize that voice when it's a voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just as the truth.
Yeah.
Not just as the tape playing that happens to be the commentator that knows the way. No.
Right.
No.
It's that observer. There's a gorgeous book, if anyone has read it or wants to read it, by Richard Rudd, called The Art of Contemplation. Mm-hmm. And he is so brilliant at offering such succinct languaging, not dissimilar to what we're speaking to, but a really way to access it of contemplation and being with such pure presence that's very applicable. So if you want to check that out.
Pure presence, it's like, it's the new black. It's very, very sexy. And it is. When someone is present with you, I feel like it's the biggest gift you can give another / yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you bridge this moment to the next, the dull to the sparkly, back to the dull, back to the sparkly, without making that journey invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're judging your own journey.
Right.
That
we spend so
nuts.
Much time judging our own journey. It's
like,
what else? What else?
Why don't we just be on it?
Just be on it. Yeah.
So in that way, we're kind of out of time here. But I think the meditation today is a relaxing back into like the frozen of the winter, the place where there is nowhere to move because you're frozen, and being with that, and being with the freeze, because in the freeze, you know, comes the thaw, and letting that just be a flavor of aliveness.
Yeah, a scene, a movie that you're in,
and
allow it to be.
Yeah, the worksheet will talk all about sort of the winter, the deepest January of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the month that has the most like attachment and promise to transformation, yet being really, really, really still and frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And letting the freeze, like, hey, you know, cold plunging, it's super in right now. There's something about like the vigor of the freeze, but you got to freeze first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's sort of a wise practice to choose, so that when you are in it, there isn't so much dissonance.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to do that now?
A deep winter freeze meditation. Sure.
Okay. We're gonna go in. So these, if you're new here, these are fairly new as we're co-creating them together. And they're conversations and a practice. So at the end of these, if you're wanting to join us later, go ahead and pause and come back. This will be available and you can do the practice later if you're driving or working out or something else. And if you have the time and space to join us, we'll be here for five minutes or so.
Yeah.
Getting into a meditation practice. observing the freeze.
Yeah, I think it's this. Just sit nice and tall. Maybe this will be a collaborative Jane and Marisa meditation. Mm-hmm. If you have something, jump in. I'm sure over time our voices are starting to sound more similar. But just find that place where you feel alert and present and the skin on your face is soft, and just empty out your furrowed brow or any congestion in the throat or the heart or the belly. Let's just take three big breaths together. Just inhale. Feel the life force come in as if you just opened the door on a windy winter's day, and like it comes in. And then just exhale, be with it. Just two more breaths like that. Just inhale into your whole body. One more time. And as you sit, see if you can bring your attention for a moment to like the cells in your body, almost as if they were snowflakes, right? Like little beautiful crystalline cells in your body, or circles, whatever you associate them. Just all sort of vibrating. Just can you bring your attention to your cellular body? Not the energy, the physical matter, the cells. And can you feel that in, like, if you were to take a picture in a given moment, that's going to be a frozen moment in time. And can you just take a second as you notice the cells to sort of go from picture frame in a moment, like feel your cells as they're suspended in time, to the next picture where maybe they moved just a little or maybe not at all. And just be present with the absolute like frozen stillness of your body for a moment. See if you can like be so aware of time and space, actually, that you're capturing in like a photo frame a frozen moment in time. As you become aware of that, notice how the energy shifts in your body. Like, you're not in your story, you're not in your past, you're not in your future, you're in this moment. Just in giving yourself the gift of a pause to feel the energy in the body and to be, here we go, like mesmerized with the extraordinariness of like a moment that we're gifted on this planet. Just to feel you.
If the mind is taking you into anywhere but the feeling of just staying with the picture, just let it and keep coming back to the picture, to the sensation, to the temperature, to the texture. Full embracing of the feeling now. And just revel and be with it.
Sort of like getting to be with all the questions without having answers. Like, how are we here? But you're not answering it. It's just like, whoa. And actually the I don't know, but the dullness just totally lifts.
Taking a little bit of that cooling breath to awaken the cells once again. Bringing light, freshness into all of them. Maybe even opening your eyes, rolling your shoulders up.
Yeah, the whole idea, just letting that frozenness be a state of being that's okay. Right? It's like, it's not so terrifying or horrible. It's just a state that you can become aware of that's kind of cool. So often we're in motion.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for playing.
Yeah. We're going to send a little bit of a worksheet to go along with that as well. So you always have a conversation you can hopefully get inspired by in your own way, a practice that you get to embody and try, and then like another tool that you can help integrate and bring it all together. That's our intention here.
Yeah, you'll have just this whole collection that can help shift you from one awareness to another and see if that makes a difference.
Love it. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
Always fun to hang with you. Thanks, totally. IG, for tuning in. We're going to do this once a week. Keep playing. Yeah. We have an awesome online platform as well and a lot of movement practice. The Body Alive is our signature class. Jane is incredible at bringing like high energy music and this whole journey experience with low lights and shaking it out and this expressive
movement.
Motion
changes emotion.
It's so good. So seriously, check it out. It's the most fun ever.
Yeah, it is. It awakens some great parts of yourself.
Yep. See you guys soon. Lots of love. Bye.